being Monday, we're already towards the end of July, July 27th, 11:45 a.m. This is the meeting for the Willmar Municipal Utilities Commission. And I'll start out with our typical legal statement here. The chair and general manager of Willmar Municipal Utilities Commission and our chief legal counsel have determined under Minnesota Statute 13D.021 that in-person meetings of the Municipal Utilities Commission meeting or of the commission are not practical or prudent due to the COVID-19 health pandemic and the peacetime emergency declared by Governor Walz pursuant to Minnesota Statutes Chapter 12, and that our meetings, including this meeting, shall therefore be conducted by telephone or other electronics pursuant to Minnesota Statute 13D.021 until such time as it is no longer impractical or imprudent for this commission to resume in-person meetings. Be saying that thing in my sleep before long. All right. Does anybody have any changes for the agenda?
Chair Mattern, if I may note that anyone that downloaded the agenda before mid-afternoon on Friday should refresh their iPads to have the most current, as we updated it about 3 o'clock on Friday.
All right. Thank you for that update. Hearing no other changes for the agenda, we'll look to move into the consent agenda that consists of the minutes from July 13th meeting and then bill payments in the amount of approximately $2.95 million. Looking at the bills, I don't see anything out of the ordinary there. We've got a handful of payments for energy and some transfer for sewer over to the city. General Manager Herron, was there anything else that you wanted to point out on the bills?
Thank you, Chair Matter. No, I do not. Not at this time. Bills are routine for the most part, and our capital items have been highlighted.
Okay, thank you. With that, I'd be looking for a resolution for approval of the consent agenda.
Zach, move forward. Sorry.
Commissioner Erickson, I'll second that.
All right, so we have a resolution and a second on the consent agenda. Any discussion?
Just on the accounts payable, let's see, I got to get back to it here. There. On there's a check number 2012 and one that's 2015 and the same date for the same amount and to the same place. Is there supposed to be two of them?
That is.
Oh, yeah, one says 17 and one says 18.
What page are you on, Commissioner Lemire?
Two.
Page two.
Maybe it is supposed to be 117 and then the next day another one for the same amounts. About halfway down.
Same amounts. What's the dollar amount?
14. For check number 2012, it's the $14,668, and then for check number 15, it's a different amount. I missed that. So that is one after the other, one day and one the next day.
Correct. Yeah, all payroll withholdings.
Okay. They were just close together, and I didn't go over and look at those total amounts. And then a question on the page 3, almost at the bottom, Connect Energy Group for the gas consumed for district heat June 20th. So that's what was consumed. That's not what you had in reserve like.
Right. That's what was actually consumed to operate the boiler for district heat.
up to that time.
Correct. Yeah. Okay. There could potentially be another invoice yet, depending on when the red meters out our gas account. They disconnected the gas meter. Kevin, what, 2 days after? 2 days, 3 days after we shut down the boiler?
Yeah, that's correct. They were out the following Monday, I believe, and disconnected gas.
Yeah, so there'll more likely be another gas bill, yeah. But...
okay, and then on page 7, there's a bill paid to NISC, and it says a call center dispatch. Is that new, or is that the one you've been using all the time? Because looks like it's implemented.
Page 7, NISC. Yeah. Oh, the highlight it.
Yes.
That is part of our capital project with converting over to CRC for our call center. The power plant staff function as a call center for us. And as June 30th, we can do CRC, which is down in Austin, Minnesota. And our SCADA set up and CRC set up also that we as staff, our staff can monitor our system and keep it in the event we got some sort of challenge going on the system.
Okay, thank you. That's all I got.
Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Lammer. Any other discussion on the resolution? All right, hearing none, Ms. Mathiasen, if you could take roll, please. Beth, you're muted.
Commissioner Weber?
Aye.
DeBleek?
Aye.
Magnuson?
Aye.
Erickson?
Aye.
Mattern?
Aye.
Lammer?
Aye.
Mabou?
Aye.
Thank you.
That resolution carries. Thank you. And I just want to interject real briefly. I saw it looks like our attorney, Robert Scott, did make it on the line. I just wanted to confirm he can hear us okay.
Yes, Mr. Chair, thank you. And I'm sorry I had a couple false starts, but I was on in time for your mastered rendition of the recital at the start of the meeting.
All right. Thank you. Welcome aboard. All right. Next on our agenda, we have a donation that was sent out. So we had recently been approached by the Wilmer Assembly of God Church. Pastor Keith Kerstetter over there had reached out and stated that they were looking for a way to help individuals in the community as a result of some of the hardships from COVID. And they graciously have offered to donate $20,000 to help pay some past due accounts for our customers. This would be applied to accounts of customers who have qualified for the UCAP program. And we had an opportunity to meet with Pastor Keith, I believe it was last week, and receive a check. So we would like to officially accept that donation as a resolution today. I do want to make a note as well that a letter will be going out to all customers who are recipients of this, notifies them of their account being credited. And it also notifies them that no personal or private information has been shared with the church or with anyone else for that matter. So I wanted to be clear that we're not giving away information. Nobody's asking for private information. So there's no breach of privacy there. And there is also, this letter is in the packet. There's also a photo of the check being received. I think that was last week. So with that, I would offer a resolution to accept the check from the Wilmer Assembly of God Church donation in the amount of $20,000. And I'd be looking for a second to the resolution.
Carol.
Second.
I think I heard Commissioner Lammer on that one first, so I'll give her the second on that one.
Okay, that's fine.
Is there any questions or discussion on this resolution or the donation at all?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, a quick question. How would, I know you have applications and things of that nature. Do you already have individuals lined up, or you just randomly select? How would that work out?
General Manager Heron, if I could have you address that, please.
Yes, good question, Commissioner Mabou. Thank you, Chair Matter. If I could yield that question over to Janelle Johnson, she's working with customer service staff and Andrea here in allocating those funds to the appropriate account. So I want to give a status update, Janelle, where we're at with allocating those funds to the accounts and how we're doing that.
Sure, I would love to. What I did was we went through all of our UCAP customers, every single one of them, and whoever had a balance on an account that was past due, they were pulled into a pool. And from that pool, we divided up the money so all customers were serviced. The average grant turned out to be, I think, around $134. A number of accounts, it took care of their past due amounts that were smaller. And so we're servicing 151 customers with this. And it's a huge boost to a lot of these people who on UCAP because UCAP only pays for electricity. So this money will end up going towards their water and their sewer bill also. So it's a very generous donation and greatly appreciated.
Thank you, Janelle. No, just echo what Janelle said. We're truly appreciative of the Willmar Assembly of God for making that donation. It's helping those that are very needy of assistance.
So, yeah, the other question that I have, that's really a great and is very helpful, but I wasn't sure about the letter. When I read, you know, I mean, I'm trying to open it again. Does it say that it will pay all your debts or just balance? Because I wasn't sure whether people will think that they will get paid if all will get 100 and something. What about the people who own like $300, $400? Because they will still have a you know, balance due to that account. Is that letter indicate this generic letter that there is still remainder of their balance from that account?
Zach, that's a very valid question. And yes, the letter's been modified to fit each account. So if it did not cover their complete account, it was modified to reflect so. If it does leave a balance on their account, it is just reflecting the amount that was put towards it. And so they know that it was not paid in full. So yes, the letters are modified to each individual situation.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for that update. That additional information is helpful. Janelle, my understanding is this will actually probably cover for most of those 151 customers. Will it cover most of their balances in full or not necessarily?
Not necessarily, because we had a couple situations where they had a very large past due amount.
Sure.
John and I sorted through the customers. We realized it wasn't fair if a significant portion would go to one customer and not others. And this way, we were able to service more customers by dividing it out this way.
Okay.
And feel it was fair.
Well, it's encouraging to hear that 151 individuals will be able to receive some assistance. So that's great. Commissioners, any additional discussion or questions on the resolution?
Yeah, this is Ross. I do have one. Are you planning on using that photo in any for any promotions of this?
From the utilities perspective, I guess we weren't necessarily. It was up to Pastor Keith if he was going to maybe reach out. I know he had some contacts he was considering reaching out to. I don't know if he's going to pursue that or not. But I don't know that we are necessarily going to actively pursue anything on the utility side.
Because somebody would bring up mask and social distancing.
We did mask and social distance prior to that picture. I'll tell you that much.
But people, yeah.
I gotcha.
The picture doesn't show though.
And it doesn't have a date on there, so people will bring it up.
Actually, that picture was taken before the mask requirement. But you're right, it doesn't have a date.
Yep.
Any other discussion of the resolution?
I understand, but yeah, some people may not know that.
No, you're absolutely correct.
Photoshop.
Yeah, Photoshop. All right, any other questions on the resolution? If not, Ms. Mathiasen, if you could take roll, please.
Certainly. Commissioner DeBleek?
Aye.
Magnuson?
Aye.
Erickson?
Aye.
Mattern?
Aye.
Lahmer?
Aye.
Mabul?
Aye.
Weber?
Aye.
Thank you.
That resolution carries. Thank you. And again, a special thank you to Willmar Assembly of God Church for their generous donation. All right, next up, we have our May 2020 Cost of Power Report from our Energy Services and Marketing Representative, Michelle Muratsky.
Thank you, Chair Mattern. As you can see, we have our monthly cost of power, and we're usually about a month behind just with bills coming in and financials and such. So we're looking at May of 2020 and the year back through May of 2019. In May of 2020, we are at about 7 cents per kilowatt hour. And May of 2019 was at 7 cents. So we are trending down, which we anticipated. So I would just take any questions if there are any.
Questions? Doesn't sound like it. Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you.
All right, next on our agenda, the June 2020 Wind Turbine Report, Facilities and Maintenance Supervisor, Kevin Marty.
Thank you, President Mattern. Excuse me. As you can see, for June of 2020, is when we had the turbines down, turbine 3 was down for a good portion of the month. When we had the hub damage and we're doing blade repairs, we had a few issues on turbine 4 as well, a little earlier in the month with some maintenance issues, driving that availability down as well. But like I mentioned last month, we had a really windy June, so we were still able to rescue 667,898 kilowatt hours, which is more than we did in May when the turbines were much more available. So we're able to salvage some kilowatt hours out of June anyways. On a bright side, we go to the next page that shows us current for the year, 3.8 million kilowatt hours. So we're running a fairly decent schedule just yet. On a bright side, like I mentioned, our blade repairs and hub repairs that we expected to take close to the end of the month were finished up middle of last week. Blade repairs got done ahead of schedule, and the guys were able to get up and finish the hub repairs and put in the new brackets and make those repairs ahead of time. So they were available, I believe, Thursday morning. So if anybody has any questions on the turbines, I can sure take those. Otherwise, we're open for wind.
Thank you for that update. Anybody have any questions on the wind turbines? All right, hearing none, Mr. Marty, I'll have you continue on with our facilities security update.
Thank you.
Kevin, I had it loaded, but I don't know what happened to it. I don't have it up anymore. Okay. Sorry.
That's all right. I'll pull it up so I can read it. Hopefully everybody still sees me here. So, 1 second.
I'm trying to get it opened up here too.
Okay, I'll verbalize as you try and pull that up then, John. So as we've been working on our recommendations, once again, in this project has involved the Department of Homeland Security walkthrough that we did, our League of Minnesota Cities meetings and recommendations, and our findings from our auditor's report. The following is kind of a security implementation update of things that we've been doing. So we took a look at all of our facilities, and in line with their recommendations, and we've replaced, we had some entry doors that were rusted and compromised at a few of our locations, at the service center, here at the office garage, then also at the south substation. So those are more maintenance. They were just rusted out and getting pretty floppy. So we replaced those doors. At the office door, that door that we replaced in the garage, we turned that into an exit only door. So it no longer can be accessed from outside. That door only had a key lock on it and did not have any traceable means of entry, like the fob entrance or a backup, like a deadbolt. So we just made that an exit only door. At the service center, we installed keypad locks on 3 exterior doors that did not have them previously. So basically in the past, those doors were deadbolt only. And during the day when the guys would come to work and unlock those, there's a potential for that door being open during the day. And then also not having a backup lock of some sort, kind of less left us susceptible to that. So by putting that keypad on there, it allows in the morning, they can unlock the deadbolt, but the door is still secure and allows employees to go in and out of those doors without having to worry about fairly easy without having to worry about the door being open. We're working with a local vendor. We visited last week to install a camera system in the service center. And that was a recommendation from Department of Homeland Security, along with NERC requirements, because we have our SCADA system now in the service center. And we anticipate that camera system to go in sometime in August or early September. We'll be rekeying the service center and the power plant garage. That has not been done for some time. And as we have a couple of retirements, that's typically something we do when employees leave. So it was a good time to do a wholesale rekeying of those two buildings and eliminate any unknown keys that may still be out there. In the water department, we took a look at our water facilities and found that they're using what's considered an unsecure lock system. So it's basically a key that you can take anywhere basically and get a copy made. We're not aware of that. So our regular building keys are a secured lock, and that key profile can only be accessed by a locksmith. So we're going to have them rekey our water department facilities to match that same profile, but to keep the water department's those facilities as secure as they are now, we're going to have a new W profile key. Basically, we have different profiles for each building, and employees are given the appropriate buildings as they have access to. So we'll have a W key for the water department facilities, and that'll happen first week in August. At the power plant, we basically secured all the exterior entrances from the inside. So those doors are all exit only, with deadbolts and latches and those sorts of things. We've removed the batteries out of the entrance keypads. The only entrance into the power plant currently to get in the building is the front door. And that entrance has the key fob system on it. So all of those fob swipes are recorded. At the substations, we've got some work to do there yet. We anticipate being completed by spring of 21, having to do with fencing, lighting, and some minor repairs there at the substations. And then our policies, as we've made some changes with the security systems, cameras, keys, those sorts of things, we'll review and suggest policy changes as that happens. And there's also a few things that came up, obviously, in the auditor's report and the Department of Homeland Security. So there'll be a few policy changes pertaining to security as well coming up for review late this year. That's all I had in my report, unless somebody has additional questions.
Kevin, thank you for that update. A lot of good information, and we're glad to see that continue to move forward. I know that, you know, long-term, this is a continual moving target. It's not a once it's done forever type thing. So
correct.
A lot of stuff to just continue to monitor and keep on top of. Commissioners, any questions? Go ahead, Kevin.
They did also give us a real nice tool that we've been able to use that showed us our baseline. We corrected our baseline. I think we showed that to you once. And as we do these updates, we can enter those updates into that tool, and it will show how it affects our score compared to other like facilities in the country. So that's a neat piece for us to use internally as we make changes.
Can sort of get some real-time updates that way.
Correct.
Commissioners, any questions?
This is Carol. I'm just glad that some of this is being done and getting cameras put in. This day and age, you never know.
I agree. I know we've had that discussion in the past too, and I continue to encourage that we even go above and beyond in some areas what DHS might be requiring as well. So I know some of those discussions have been had, and as we continue to monitor these things, I hope that'll be considered as well. So any other thoughts? All right, thank you again for that update. Next, we've got a review of our in-person versus Zoom meetings. I know legally speaking, we still have the authority to, I guess, do either. If we do meet in person, there would be certain protocols that we would need to follow in terms of distance and so forth. I know in the auditorium, we certainly have the capacity to do that, to spread out and keep a 6-foot distance if we were to meet back in person. My personal feeling, the way that things are looking right now in Minnesota and in particular in our county, numbers have been pretty steady, pretty flat actually. I'd like to encourage getting back together, at least for a time being. Certainly if things begin to spike again this fall, we could reevaluate, assuming that the orders are still in place to allow us to come back to Zoom. But I would encourage the commission to consider looking at resuming in-person meetings. But I do want to open that up for discussion and get input from each and every one of you. So I'll start with Commissioner Lahmer to see kind of where you're at with things.
Well, I'm okay with it, whatever needs to be done to maintain, you know, the social distancing and that type of thing. But I'm in favor of meeting at the office there.
Thank you. Commissioner Weber.
I'm indifferent. I could go either way. I think as long as masks are required, I'd almost rather do the Zoom. So it's about the only input I have. Either way, it works well.
Commissioner Maboub, your thoughts, please.
Similar. Since still social distancing and, you know, requirement to wear, I will prefer if we can do Zoom. You know, I can go either way, but preferable Zoom if we do distancing.
Okay. Commissioner Magnuson?
I always prefer getting together, but as long as we still have to wear masks, I'd prefer to continue on Zoom.
Real briefly, I should interject, and maybe I'll pull in Attorney Robert Scott on this one, but my understanding is that while we would have to wear masks, I think, while traveling within the building, once we're in our meeting and at a 6-foot distance, I believe we would be able to remove the masks for the course of the meeting. Is that correct?
Chair Mattern, I believe that is correct, yes.
Okay, thank you. So I don't know if that helps, you know, offer a little bit more comfort to some of the commissioners as well. Let's see, Commissioner DeBleek, your thoughts.
Yeah, I could say either way. It'd be, in person would be fine, or Zoom is fine as well. So no preference.
Okay, Commissioner Erickson.
Yeah, I guess I could go either way. Zoom isn't working well, but yeah, I'd like to get back in person again.
Commissioner Mattern, if I can maybe interject just a little bit about setup before you move to a resolution here on this discussion.
Sure.
With setup there, I would envision that in order to maintain a 6-foot separation, auditorium is adequately sized to maintain that. We have very little, if any, customer or community residents attend. And even if we have a couple attend periodically, we would still be able to maintain social distancing. We'd probably set the table up for the commissioners to be around the table, and staff would set up a table away from the commissioner's table so that we all would maintain our 6-foot social separation. The way we presently and in the past have set up, we probably aren't maintaining that, but we have adequate room, so we could do that if the commission elects to come back. So setup shouldn't be an issue space-wise.
Thank you for that update. And John, my understanding is the upcoming planning committee meeting, just because of some of the data and documents that are going to be going through, that meeting is set to be in person at the utilities as well.
That would be correct. When we push it out, that would involve Commissioner DeBleek, Commissioner Lemire, and Commissioner Magnuson. And there was no indication that they would prefer to do Zoom. And the reason we sent it out as an auditorium meeting is just simply it's our budgets and our capital improvement projects. I personally felt that it would bring more value to the discussion if we met in person. So at this point in time, I anticipate that meeting to be here.
Thank you. If I can invoke perhaps our council member, Mr. Meske, as well, just to see, A, where the council is at on this topic, and B, if he had any thoughts as far as what the commission does here today.
The council has not had that discussion yet. I'm assuming it should have it very soon. I would probably fall in line if you have all of your guidelines laid out very clearly and can be adhered to the, there's no reason not to go back to meeting face-to-face. Your facility allows that very easily. And hearing that you can remove the masks once you're at the meeting, I think would be very helpful. So I could, again, go either way, as people have said, but if you're meeting those guidelines, there's no reason not to. It's my opinion that this is not going to go away anytime soon.
I agree. And again, with the flexibility, if things do spike up, certainly it would be responsible to return to Zoom. But from what I'm hearing, I think there's a couple of us in favor of trying to get back to meeting in person. The rest sound like they're pretty well indifferent. I didn't hear any real objections to meeting in person. So unless I hear that at this time, I think I'd like to move forward with resuming in-person meetings starting in August. Again, we'd follow the guidelines as necessary, being able to remove the masks during the course of the meeting. And if we need to change, we will. But unless I hear any objections at this point, I think we'll move forward in that direction.
Chair Mattern, Robert here. I wondered if I could just clarify the answer I gave you previously.
Sure.
Just looking back over the mask mandate and the executive order, masks would be permitted to be removed when individuals on the commission are testifying or speaking or otherwise performing at a meeting, but it appears, if I'm reading the exclusion right, that they should be kept on when members of the commission would not otherwise be speaking.
And if I could ask for clarification, if that is a mandate or a recommendation?
That appears to be a mandate. The mandate is that masks are required generally indoors, and then there's a list of exemptions. One of the exemptions is when testifying, speaking, or performing at a governmental meeting. So it appears, again, that that would be required so long as members of the commission are not speaking.
Okay, thank you for that update. Commissioners, are we comfortable giving this a try?
Yes.
I think we'll continue to proceed then. Mr. Scott, thank you again for that update. I think we'll continue to proceed meeting in person in August. We're going to, let's just see how this goes. And if it's not working out, we can switch back.
Commissioner Mattern, just so the commission and staff, so we all know the expectations, we would still forego the lunch, or would the preference be to have lunch brought in so everyone could have lunch prior to the meeting starting? If we were to bring in lunch, it would be served around the table versus the conference room, because in the conference room, we would not be able to maintain social distancing.
Correct. Commissioners, again, unless I hear any objections, I think for now, as we figure this out, I'm certainly in favor of foregoing lunch at the meetings for now.
We'll do our part in helping the budget for all the, for the expenses that have been incurred.
Thank you, Commissioner Lahmer.
Thank you.
All right. We'll proceed in that direction for now, and we'll just evaluate as we need to moving forward. Okay. Next on the agenda, we have Mr. Schmidt's silent impact resolution video. And let's see, Ms. Johnson, I'll let you introduce this one for us.
All right. Thank you. Chair Mattern. Joe Schmidt has given us a message each month, and we did have a scheduled message for the areas we need to work on. But again, Joe's gone off topic. But with Joe going off topic, I think it's very relevant to us all. And I think it's been a very good message for us all. This month is on race and social injustice. And I think is very relevant to everyone here. And Joe gives us another thought-provoking message as we all deal with the race and social injustice issues.
Hi, everybody. Joe Schmidt here with your impact resolution for the month of July. And in July, we're going to have an uncomfortable conversation because I'm going to talk about race and social injustice. As hard as I try, as a white man in America, I do not understand what it's like to be black in America today. But I do know we can all do a couple of things. We can all be willing to have courageous, uncomfortable conversations, and we can all listen. And I mean really, really listen intently. Recently, I did an interview with Rick Spielman, the general manager of the Minnesota Vikings. He and his wife, Michelle, have adopted 6 kids, all African-American children. And he told stories of racism. He said he understood what white privilege is, but unfortunately, he understood what racism was too, all too well. He talked about one of his sons borrowing his wife's car. She drove a luxury SUV. He got picked up by the cops. He was driving while black. The cop did not believe that the kid owned the car. He ended up calling Michelle Spielman to make sure that was the car, to make sure that was her son. He also told the story about how when the kids were younger, everything was accepted, was not a problem. But as the boys became teenagers and then young men, he noticed a change, I was talking to a friend of mine who's a doctor. I've known him for over 10 years. He's an immigrant, so I decided to have one of these uncomfortable conversations. I asked him, I said, what kind of racism did you face in your life as you were going through medical school? Well, he went on to tell story after story after story, and I felt bad that I had not had the courage to ask him about this before. I'm not smart enough to come up with something new and profound on race, but I am smart enough to know that we have to listen, we have to care, and we have to acknowledge that there is a problem. This is not a black and white issue. This is a right and wrong issue. This is not about race. This is about humanity. My pastor had a pretty good analogy. He was saying, if we're lucky enough to be parents, we have kids. We all love our kids with every fiber of our body. But when one of your children is hurting, they are the ones who get the most attention. Right now, black people in this country are hurting, so they need our attention. They need to be acknowledged. I heard somebody say, don't be color blind, be color brave. Be brave enough to have these conversations. Be brave enough to listen intently and let them know you care. Be brave enough to look at yourself and figure out where are your blind spots when it comes to race. And be brave enough to realize it is time to change. This is your impact resolution for the month of July, but this is your impact resolution for far beyond that.
And we're grateful for that update. I see that that was released again the first part of July, so another timely and on point message from Mr. Schmidt. So we're grateful for that. And thanks for that introduction, Janelle. All right, we are now on to the general manager's report, Mr. Herron.
Thank you, Chairman Manner. We got our PC meeting, planning committee meeting for budgets that we talked about. That'll be here in the auditorium. I had highlighted that to point that out. We already had that discussion. But what's not on here, what I want to make the commission aware of, Kevin informed me here in the last couple of days that our WINC report on our power plant environmental phase one and phase two study is near completed, and we'll be receiving that shortly. So our next agenda, you will see that on there. And just something for the commission to think about at staff level. Our thoughts are, and our recommendation to the committee would be to first, we bring the report to the planning committee, but then the planning committee either recommends a work session of the commission as a whole, and we have WINC at that meeting, and or that we include the council and have it a joint meeting, work session and a joint meeting to save WINC a trip up and present that report to the council as well. And the reason that we are suggesting that to the commission, the council has a lot of questions. They incorporated this property into their Renaissance zone, and they talked about maybe some repurposing of that plant, And I believe it's important for the council to hear firsthand the challenges that will go with repurposing and the costs associated with repurposing that plan. So more to come on that, but the planning committee will be receiving a calendar invite for that meeting coming up here in August once we have the report here at staff level. Other than that, that would conclude my update unless the commissioners have questions for myself or staff as a whole here. Strategic plans, last page of it, our strategic initiative, as always, Beth keeps that on the agenda, just keep them in the forefront of the commission and staff. So thank you.
Thank you, John. Commissioners, any questions on that update? All right, hearing none, I do want to real briefly just offer again our thanks and gratitude on behalf of the commission for the some upcoming retirements and actually a recent retirement. Chris Carlson had recently retired at the end of last month, and Joel Bregelman and Scott Schultz are both retiring at the end of this month. So I just wanted to give a quick shout out and a thanks to those individuals as well. So is there anything else to come before the commission today? If not, I would look for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Anybody want to? Okay, I've got a motion and a second, and I declare this meeting adjourned. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.